Krishna Book Canto 10, Hastinapur, Chapter 48, Scene 3, Akura Advises Dhritarashtra. Akura decided to return and report on the extreme circumstances in which he found Kunti and her five sons. Akura first wanted to give good advice to Dhritarashtra, who was so favorably inclined toward his own son and unfavorably inclined toward the Pandavas. When Kunti and Dhritarashtra were sitting among friends and relatives, Akura began to address Dhritarashtra, calling him Varchitravirya. Varchitravirya means the son of Vichitravirya. Vichitravirya was the name of the father of Dhritarashtra, but Dhritarashtra was not actually the begotten son of Vichitravirya. Dhritarashtra was the begotten son of Vyasadeva. Formerly, it was the system that if a man were unable to beget a child, his brother could beget a child in the womb of his wife. That system is now forbidden in this age of Kali. Akura sarcastically called Dhritarashtra Varchitravirya because Dhritarashtra was not actually begotten by his father. Dhritarashtra was the son of Vyasadeva. So when a child was begotten in the wife by the husband's brother, the child was claimed by the husband, but of course the child was not begotten by the husband. This sarcastic remark pointed out that Dhritarashtra was falsely claiming the throne on hereditary grounds. Actually, the son of Pandu was the rightful king, and in the presence of Pandu's sons, namely the Pandavas, Dhritarashtra should not have occupied the throne. So, my dear son of Vichitravirya, you have unlawfully usurped the throne of the Pandavas. Anyway, somehow or other, you are now on the throne. I therefore beg you and advise you to please rule the kingdom on moral and ethical principles. If you do so, and try to teach your subjects in that way, then your name and fame will be perpetual. Akura hinted that although Dhritarashtra was ill-treating his nephews, the Pandavas, they happened to be his subjects. And even if you treat them not as the owners of the throne, but as your subjects, you should at least impartially think of their welfare as though they were your own sons. But if you do not follow this principle and act in just the opposite way, then you will become unpopular among your subjects, and in your next life, you will have to live in a hellish condition. I therefore hope you will treat your sons and the sons of Pandu equally. Akura hinted that if Dhritarashtra did not treat the Pandavas and his sons as equals, then surely there would be a fight between the two camps of cousins. And since the Pandavas' cause was just, they would come out victorious, and the sons of Dhritarashtra would all be killed. This was a prophecy told by Akura to Dhritarashtra. Akura further advised Dhritarashtra, in this material world, no one can remain as an eternal companion to another. By chance only, we assemble together in family, society, community, and nation. But in the end, Because every one of us has to give up this body, we must be separated. One should not, therefore, be unnecessarily affectionate towards family members. Dhritarashtra's affection was also unlawful and did not show much intelligence. In plain words, Akura hinted to Dhritarashtra that his staunch family affection was due to his gross ignorance of the facts. Although we appear to be combined together in family, society, or nation, each one of us has an individual destiny. Everyone takes birth according to one's individual past work. Therefore, everyone has to individually enjoy or suffer the results of his or her own karma. There is no possibility of improving one's destiny by so-called cooperative living. Sometimes it so happens that one's father accumulates wealth by illegal ways, and the son takes away the money, although it is hard-earned by the father. It is just like a small fish in the ocean who eats the material body of the large, older fish. One ultimately cannot accumulate wealth illegally for the gratification of one's family, society, community, or nation. That many great empires which developed in the past are no longer existing because their wealth was squandered away by later descendants is an illustration of this principle. And one who does not know this subtle law of fruitive activities and thus gives up all ethical and moral principles only carries with one the reactions of his or her sinful activities. One's ill-gotten wealth and possessions are thus taken away by someone else, and then one goes to the darkest region of the hellish life. One should not, therefore, accumulate more wealth than is allotted to one by destiny. Otherwise, one will be factually blind to one's own interest. Instead of fulfilling one's own self-interest, one will act in just the opposite way for one's own downfall. Akura continued, "My dear Dhritarashtra, I beg to advise you not to be blind about these facts of material existence. Material conditional life, either in distress or in happiness, is to be accepted as a dream. One should try to bring one's mind and senses under control and live very peacefully for spiritual advancement in Krishna consciousness. In Chaitanya Charitamrita it is said, Krishna Bhakta Nishkam Ata Eva Shanta Bhukti Mukti Siddhikami Shakali Ashanta. Except for persons who are in Krishna consciousness, everyone is always in a disturbed condition of mind and is full of anxiety. Even those who are trying for liberation or merging into the Brahman effulgence, or the yogis who are trying to achieve perfection in mystic power, cannot have peace of mind. However, the pure devotees of Krishna have no demands to make of him. They are simply satisfied with service to Krishna. Therefore, actual peace and mental tranquility can be attained only in perfect Krishna consciousness. Thus ends chapter 48, scene 3. Akura advises Dhritarashtra. All glories to Krishna book. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.